Number one, the Old Testament was mainly first written in Hebrew, except for part of Daniel and Ezra, which were written in Aramaic. Two, the New Testament was first written in Greek. Three, the term covenant is more appropriate than testament. Four, there are many covenants in the Old Testament. A, covenants can be conditional or unconditional. B, many covenants are still in effect today. C, the two salvation covenants are recorded in the Old Testament. One, first or old covenant was given to Moses, the law. Two, second or new covenant was given to the nation of Israel and was based on the blood. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 37, Luke 22, 20, and Luke 22, 42.
And then if you want to turn in your Bibles
to Leviticus chapter 23, and somebody read that first section down, including the Sabbath.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times."
Now, you notice they're called what?
Holy convocations.
Holy convocations.
Okay, and?
Feasts.
The term feasts, festivals, and so on. Now, feast usually means there's going to be some eating involved, right? And we think of it that way, you know, having a big meal is a feast. But God's looking at this very differently. If you put all that together, what is it really dealing with?
Times of worship.
Okay, yes, it would be relate to that. But it is talking about relationship between God and man. All this stuff we're going to be talking about is in the middle here between God and man. Now, he began talking about the Sabbath here in Leviticus, but where was the Sabbath given? And to whom? There are covenants that God gives and gives a sign of sealing of the covenant. And the one with Moses was the Sabbath. The Sabbath and the law are connected. He gave the law through Moses, not just the Ten Commandments. There wasn't room on the tablets to write the 613. So they were summarized into 10, and of course it did not include the sacrificial, dietary, and things like that. And that's what you have to get straight when we're talking about the law. So what the Sabbath is a gateway in to all the others. It's the door that God chose. And it isn't interesting because it is a sign of what covenant? The law. The sign of the law. So you can't separate those two, and yet Jesus was constantly being criticized and condemned for healing on the Sabbath because he is violating the law of the Sabbath. You get it? How stupid it was? So let's look at the Sabbath and see what God actually said and then what people did with it. See, that's the issue. God has his word, but behind his word is an intent. Write that down. Intent. The intent of the law. Lawyers can twist and turn things, but what was the intent of the law? And that's what the Supreme Court's there for. Anybody here been in the Supreme Court building, Washington? What's engraved on the walls when you come in? The Ten Commandments. They haven't figured out how to get them out of there without creating a problem. They could just plaster over it and paint, I suppose, but kind of afraid to do it at this point. Now, if you take those ten about coveting, about stealing, about killing, everything, and we've removed it, and what has increased? Exactly that. So what we have here now is a tying together of the law, and let's just use the Ten Commandments because that's what the Sabbath is, but tying them together because they are still relevant today. The 613, many of those were only for the Jewish people at that time because of sanctification. The diet was given not just for better health, but to set them apart from other people, and it sure did. Circumcision. All these things were to set them apart because God was putting his plan in himself through them. And yet that setting apart has made the world turn against them because Satan's behind it trying to destroy them because then he could destroy God's plan. So what do we have then? We have number four is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So now we got a day involved. And so now we're going to transition that into the church. So obviously, what is our Sabbath according to false teaching? Sunday. And it's called the Lord's Day. People, you don't want to be in the Lord's Day. That's the tribulation, the day of the Lord, the Lord's Day. Sunday was never called the Lord's Day. It's the day of resurrection. So if you think of the days of the week, then all this fits into that. God gave how many days for a week?
Seven.
And what do we call the first day of the week? We call it Monday. No, we don't.
No, Sunday.
Right. Well, some people think Monday's the first day of the week because of a working day. Right? Okay. So Sunday being number one. And ending with Saturday. Now, do you find the word Monday, Sunday, Saturday in the Bible?
No.
No, you don't. You will find on the first day of the week, early in the morning, Mary and Salome came to the tomb, right? Right. Remember, you got to stick to what God is saying. The day begins at 6 p.m. You won't understand things in the Bible, like twilight and things like that. Okay. So what do we have then? No, just use numbers. Okay, the first day being a Sunday, well then the seventh day is going to be a Saturday, and the Sabbath means seven in Hebrew, and it's the seventh day. And we happen to call it Saturday. Now, why don't they worship, according to the old way of law, on Saturday? Why do they go Friday night? Because the Sabbath begins at 6 p.m. Friday night to 6 p.m. Saturday night. There are 6 hours difference in the whole clock thing. Right? So that makes a difference when you calculate things, right? Just the word Sabbath Sabbath means seven. That's all it initially means. You go back to creation. God had how many days of creation?
Six.
Man's number is six because he was created on the sixth day. But God rested, and the word rest has nothing to do with taking a nap. It has to do with being at peace with God for us. Our rest is in him. Our salvation. Our peace. So the fact that he rested is a sign of completeness. It was completed. He rested from the creation. In other words, he finished. It's complete. That's all it means. Well, now we end up with the Sabbath being given as a special day, and God picked the same day where he rested. And trying to tie all this together. So what did it say there? This was whose festival? Whose? It said it's mine. It's God's. Right. It's God's. It's God's church. That should be his worship service. It's his offering you're bringing. You see what I'm saying? It's the whole idea of ownership and motivation. It was motivated by God for God. Well, it means that God is selfish? No. Because if things are right that way, they'll be right from our side. Figure it? If God he does it right from his side to us, but we don't always do it right from our side to him. And so he gave us these things in the middle, the feast, to these people, and he's given us things, of course, the communion, which we talked about last week. So what do we have then? He gives very simple directions. What are you to do on that day?
Rest.
Well, no
work.
Okay. Mr. Clark, you're a scientist. Would you define work? You have to use the word calorie.
Well, it's the consumption of energy.
Okay.
It's a consumption. For example, picking up something, lifting it involves work.
Yeah, it's burning the calorie.
Yes, for example, horsepower.
Right.
You run a motor, horsepower.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's 746 watts in horsepower.
Now let's keep it simple. Let's keep it simple. It's simply expending a calorie.
Yeah, expending.
So when you are doing exercise, you're working.
That's right.
You're burning off calories. Well, you wouldn't have to burn them off if you didn't shove them in.
Well, when I exercise, I don't get paid.
We need a certain amount
enough.
Of calories to make the body function.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. That's true. And you get them working better when you exercise. That's true. Okay, so that is what the scientific definition is. Is that what God's talking about?
No.
No, but that's what the Pharisees did. They took what God had intended to be a nice day and made hell out of it. Because they defined it that way. It was so bad that if you, for some reason, spit... It was a pretty good Okay. And it hit the ground and it moved some of the soil. Moved a little bit, that's work. And you were in trouble.
Okay.
Now you can see with that attitude, what is it going to do between you and me? We're Jews trying to live under this, and then we got these people putting this down on us. What are you going to be doing?
Comparing.
Yeah, but you're also going to be avoiding by hiding. You're going to start hiding. Because there's certain things you're going to have to do as part of daily life. Going to the bathroom could be a lot of work. Well, it could be. So what do you do? I'm not being gross here. Do you see what I'm saying? They did just the opposite, just what Satan would want. Take something beautiful that God had given, like sexual desires, and make it into the worst thing you can possibly have.
My mother-in-law loved to knit and crochet. She was a devout Roman Catholic. And she said to me, every time I knit and crochet on Sunday, I have to take it out on Monday. Oh, take it apart on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what? I didn't understand that at all, you know, when she said that to me.
And well, I can understand it.
Well, I mean, I crocheted it on Sunday. I never had to take it apart.
But she was thinking.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, because her mind was programmed, and she is feeling guilty. And on Monday, she'd look at it, and it might have been just fine, but she wouldn't see it fine. Thank you for that, because that's a good example of the kind of thing we're talking about here. Now, what does all that do? It separates people. It doesn't put people together. When we grew up, generally on Sunday, what was the activity after church?
Dinner.
Dinner. A family dinner. Usually families gathered and things like that. Right?
Stores were closed.
Stores were closed and whatever. But it was a time of togetherness.
We had to plan outside.
Togetherness. Well, some people did. Some did. We owned a dairy business and we had a dairy store. And people didn't have a lot of refrigeration in freezers. And they wanted ice cream for Sunday dessert. So we were open from 8 to 12.
On Sunday?
Yes.
Oh.
And also some farmers who could not... refrigerate their milk and cream, and they had just a few cows, they would bring it in, so we had that part open just to receive it. When I was 14, I was asked by the family if I would be one of the workers on Sunday morning. Yeah, I got paid $1.10 an hour for not going to church, and I thought that was the greatest blessing. Because it was a family business. So I said to my dad, when you have your Sunday once a month, why don't you have me come there, not artists? She can stay home and go to church. Oh, good idea. I got two Sundays. Now my aunt started playing the organ, both services. So she said, Paul, I know you're already working two Sundays, but could you do a third? I said, well, I think so. I hate to miss your plane and all that, but yeah, I'll do it. Then I had another uncle. I said, Bob, you got Mary working there. Don't you think she ought to go to church? Why don't I work with you? He said, it'd be good to have somebody from the family. So I got four Sundays. I got the whole thing, and I got $1.10 an hour, and I didn't have to go to church.
No wonder.
And I thought that was wonderful. So am I guilty of violating the Sabbath?
Yeah. Yes. Well, when I was growing up, Mom had to plan what food she would need for Sunday on Saturday so she could go buy it. And it reminds me of the manna. Uh-huh. Only take what you need for 2 days, you know?
Well, there's a point of being organized, and places were closed, and yes, we should be organized and all that. But here's the point. Well, God had an intent to be a blessing, and man turned it into a curse.
Yeah.
The point is, in seven, we need 1 day off. And the work day that you probably grew up in was six. 6 days. Yes.
Yep.
Saturday is a full work day.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a great relief of not doing that kind of thing. It's a rest of recuperation, of family time, whatever, and put that things of the world aside. That's what it's all about. So at least 1 day we could think in terms of the Lord and so on. It was a blessing day, right? So when he said work, he's really talking about that you do 6 days. Now certainly as they're preparing food and things like that and so on and so forth. And he had other things involved in it. But isn't that the basis of it? So now let's take it to the church. Are all 10 commandments still valid? Yes, they are. If you've ever heard a sermon on the 10 commandments, they skip 4. Why did God put the 4th one in if he did not expect it to be part of the 10? That's the first question I ask. God, you should have left that off. Was it just for the Jews? Well, then the 10 commandments aren't relative to the church. You see what I'm saying? Okay, but Jesus explained it because he said, I am the Lord, the authority of the Sabbath. You will find your rest not in a day, but in a person. So, let's rewrite that. Remember
Jesus
Christ and keep him holy. On a day? No, always. It's always. So that is now, the day means there are different Hebrew words for day, 24 hours like in creation, the day of the church, that's an era, period of time. So now it converts to that. It's a daily thing that he is the Lord of, should be the Lord of your life. And not just on 1 day, but all the time. This is why he was doing all he was doing. He was trying to show the people that he was going to fulfill that feast, that time, and do what with it? Make it permanent every day. It's all about him. So if you don't see Jesus Christ in the Sabbath, then this rest business and everything, you miss the whole thing. Study Hebrews and you'll see it. God brings it out in Hebrews. In that DVD Joanne and I made, we bring that out because it came out in the sermon. Right? Yeah, it's rest. And when you think of rest is salvation and peace with God, then you'll get it. Okay, so what do we have next? The Passover. Now if you start looking at your outline, you see I have given you on the next page kind of the outline of how these seven are arranged. There are two groups of three and one in the middle. If you go back to the first page we just looked at, on the top you have an overview of what that is, how many days it is, and so on. So what do we have?
14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover.
Okay, now let's stop there. So what month is that? January?
First month.
It's not January. God changed the calendar from the time they came out of Egypt, or before, when they had the Passover. That's when he started the Jewish calendar. Okay, so what's the first month?
Nisan? Is it Nisan?
Right, it would be our March-April time. The time that we, quote, have resurrection time. Right? Okay, go ahead.
And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it.
So, how many days? You're combining Passover and unleavened. Passover is 1 day. Unleavened?
7 days.
So, 15th
to the 21st day.
Okay, is it 7 or is it, this is one of the 7?
7 days.
7 days, okay. And what does 8 and, or 1 and 7 equal?
8.
8 days. And what does 8 mean, seriously?
New beginning.
New beginning. You'll find that quite often. That is a week and a day. Mm-hmm. Right? At the time that Jesus was in Jerusalem, that last week, we'll call it Holy Week, it's not his Passover season. See, we have all the Catholic stuff in our churches. Holy Week, Ash, all that. That's an abomination, people, all that stuff. It is. It's Passover season. So what do we have in that? Jesus was crucified on a certain day that people believe was Friday. It didn't say it was on Friday. It's talking about Passover. It's talking about a special high day. In other words, a Sabbath, and then another high day, meaning another Sabbath, a special Sabbath, not the Friday evening Sabbath, but another Sabbath. So you have to back up. We know the standard Sabbath was 6 p.m. Friday, right? Started. But there was another Sabbath in there, right? You see that only in John. Well, then you have to back up to Thursday night to have a double Sabbath. And then you back up for the crucifixion, see? So it could not be on Friday. Details. Well, the fact he was crucified is what's important, and now we can get legalistic and argue over all that, but we're trying to do a Bible study, so we want to be accurate on things. But what was going on there was how long? What was that whole period of time? It was an 8-day thing, right? There were 8 days involved. And so this all commemorates what happened in Egypt. The last plague came dealing with the death of the firstborn. Because Pharaoh had it by now. He put an edict on himself when he said he was going to kill the firstborn of the Jews, God was going to do to him. So he told him to pick out a lamb, and there's a whole detail we could go into of what kind of lamb it was supposed to be, and you know, without blemish and everything. And they were to bring the lamb up to the house so the kids could play with it and get used to it. So they would bond with this lamb. Now this sounds terrible. And then they watched his throat being slit. Can you see what God's doing? Because he would become that lamb. That's it. But think about, from the time they had the first Passover in Egypt, And then they were to continue celebrating those starting after they got out of Egypt each year. And of course that would be in the wandering in the wilderness, they'd be doing it. And by putting the blood over the doorposts and on the side, the angel of death that would cast judgment would pass over that home. And that's why it's called Passover. Now, the angels probably know quite a bit, but it was a double insurance that they would be safe because things could happen. And they would then pass through that door. When the blood was put on the door, they were not in the house. They were outside. And they would put the blood on, and they would pass through the opening and be covered by that blood. Now, did the blood literally cover them? Well, certainly the angel would see it, but it was their obedience to what God said to do. So it's a double issue. Right. If the Egyptians had done the same thing, would it have worked?
No.
No, wouldn't have. Maybe they wouldn't understand and whatever, and so on. No, wouldn't work. Okay, so what do we have then? That's one day, one thing. Now, where was Jesus when this was going on? He was celebrating what? Passover, but what particular meal? The unleavened bread meal is the Seder. And that really combines these first two, because you have to get the lamb killed and prepared to eat with the other things at the Seder meal. You follow that? So basically what the Passover part is the getting the lamb prepared and slaughtered and so on, and then bringing it here and having the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs and all the other things that he said to have. But Jesus, when he was having this in the upper room, he wasn't out on the cross, so he could not fulfill this at the same time. So he had to have it early. And that's where you'll get your dates mixed up. And you'll say, well, he celebrated the Passover, but the people weren't. They were doing it when he was on the cross. This is what is so shocking, and is for us in the church. When Jesus is at the gate of heaven, by all the signs, ready to come back, we're asleep. And what were the people doing in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria? They were getting a lamb and going through the ritual when the fulfillment was outside the city, dying for them. And they missed it. Not all of them, but some missed it. Isn't this shocking to think of that? Okay, let's read the unleavened bread.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord, for a sweet aroma. And its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath.
Those things would take place is when they would come into... What's that?
Come into the land.
Right. But the people now hearing this in Leviticus, are they going to get into the land except for two?
No.
So they would never get to that point. They would not get to that point of being able to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread because why? Because they had rejected God. They would die. So actually, the people of Deuteronomy, that next generation, would be the ones that would be doing these things. But what's the main focus now of this feast? We have the lamb being brought in from the Passover, but what is the main center food? Bread. That's why the title is Unleavened Bread. So you need to understand the whole cycle of bread.
Yeah.
Jesus is the lamb. He's the bread of life. He's without sin. That's the cross. That's the crucifixion. Passover, unleavened bread, and the first fruits is the resurrection. Right. But you need to just follow. We've said it before, but I just want to bring it in. Leaven is used to characterize what or symbolize?
Sin.
Right? So if it's unleavened bread, it's symbolizing Jesus. He came from a city called the House of Bread, Bethlehem. It's all tied in there. Nazareth means a branch, and that has to do with him being tied to David and getting the scepter and coming back, and I won't go into that right now. So what do we have then? We have pictures. But see what happens, you go through these things, and how many times a year do they do it? Just once a year. Okay, we can go through things once a year. You go to church at what we call Christmas time, and you hear Luke 2 being read, and you probably tune it out because Caesar Augustus called for, you know, an enrollment and blah, 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 and here comes, you know, the same old thing, and the wise men show up with the shepherds, and, you know, it's just routine. And it's dangerous. And if you go to communion the same way, it's dangerous. You should come fresh every time, right? And that's what happens. It becomes a ritual. And they don't see what God is doing here by presenting himself. Pictures of himself. So when he went on the cross at 12 noon, when God the Father laid all the sins on him, what did that bread become?
Leavened.
The unleavened became leavened. What happened when he became leavened? The same thing that happened to Adam and Eve.
Separated from God. I mean, the
which way? Physically or spiritually?
Spiritually.
I'm physically.
No. No, Jesus was right there in the garden. No, at 12 noon, they died spiritually. He died spiritually. They died spiritually, and that's why they were separated spiritually, and they were afraid of him coming. They covered themselves and so on. Right? Jesus died two deaths. When you read about Adam being breathed into life, it's plural in Hebrew. Not in our English. It's a bad translation. It's plural. Because there are two lives. You have a spirit life and you have a physical life. And Adam and Eve died spiritually, initially, when they sinned. But they would eventually physically die. They didn't right away. Well, we have the same thing. Jesus died at 12 noon spiritually. And that's why he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? He was spiritually dead. And that's what he was so concerned about in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take that cup, the third cup, the atonement cup from the Seder meal. Because he would be separated. We can't really relate to that because we came in separated. But to be in perfect relationship, maybe they're going to try to, and somebody had a horrible divorce, and you had a close relationship and ended in a horrible divorce. Maybe what Pastor Meyer's wife was going through or something like, you know what I'm saying? You get that feeling, that separation in that. It's an awful thing. But at 3, our time, he physically died. But when he was in the tomb, his body, his soul, spirit, what was happening that time when he came out? What kind of bread was he when he came out? He wasn't leavened, and he wasn't unleavened, because God didn't strip the sin off of him. He gave him new life, glorified, right? By the way, what does glory mean? Though he was glorified. somewhat, but literally in Hebrew, it means heaviness.
Heaviness.
Yes. Now, does it mean overweight? Does it mean oppression? No. To be in His glory is a heavy experience. What He's trying to say, it's hard to comprehend. It's beyond us. It's overwhelming. That's what it means. Awesome. What usually happened to God's people when they experienced that? What did they do? They fell on their face, not on their butt. Non-believers fall on their butts. When Jesus being arrested, well, I'm He. Boom. They all went down. All He said was, I'm He, and they all went down. Not the apostles, but Judas and the high priest and them went down. When you go to Benny Hinn and that kind of thing, and he goes, boom, what do? They fall on their butts and their heads. Yeah, because the devil's pushing demon stuff. Right. So He came out as called new bread. And that is the same thing that we will end up as, new bread, when we get our bodies glorified. So that's what we have then, with the tying these all together. And what we're going to do next time is we're going to talk about Pentecost, because Pentecost is in the middle, and there are the other three at the end. I just want to end by saying this. These feasts were given to the Jews or to the church? They were given to the Jews, yes. But the Jews became the church.
Yes.
Right. So we take these now and we celebrate them in a different way. What came out of this for us? For the church that Jesus instituted. Communion. This is where communion came from. We're dealing with the third cup, right? He condensed the whole thing. But we could have the Seder. If you've ever been to a true Seder, the one we had, that writing was wrong. That was all messed up. But going way back, if you get that, read it, you'll see the Messiah over and over and over again. The main thing is Pentecost. Because this is where the Jews and the Gentiles are combined. And this is the church. Right here. It's not waving hands at people falling down. No, if they don't know the Jewish feast Pentecost, they won't understand how God fulfilled it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and how wonderful it is and how You've given these things. You've taken a lot of Your patience and You've given visual representations of Your Son Jesus Christ and how He is seen throughout the Old Testament. He was physically there in the burning bush, Melchizedek and so on. I spoke to Abraham at his home, Father, as the two angels went off and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. God, You're a personal God. And so many times we think You're just a bunch of words in a book. But we need to allow that book, which is living and active, to come living and active in our lives so that we can make a difference in our world around us that can be so dark, Father. Thank You for bringing Diana back, and we'll continue to pray for the other prayer requests we had today. And may we go in Your peace, in Your Sabbath, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.